Blog Talk Radio.
So don't come here being a fruit bat. Is this a fruit bat free program? You are listening to Black by Something. Well, I'd like to give a shout out to my listening audience, whether you're on archives or whether you are live. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. And that's if you come on this program, whether it be in the chat or on the phone, please show respect in your comments and your interactions on this program. No excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, trolling, things of that sort. It will guarantee you will have a short time on this program. And I don't mind the intense conversations or anything, but just make sure you're, you know, respectful, you know, on this program. You know, we're adults and we can act like adults and carry ourselves like adults instead of involving ourselves in a kindergarten sandbox slinging match. You know, we don't have to get into all that to get a point across. Okay. And really do hold down on the insults. I mean, sometimes people just insult you, and then when you tell them about it, they say, oh, you're just being thin-skinned. You know, insulting a person is not a way to get your point across. Okay, just want to let you all know that. But anyway, boy, I meant to, you ever plan something for a week or a day or whatever, and something happens that just throws everything off? I had one of them weeks this week. This past Sunday, my wife and I were going to head out to church. And when I drove out the parking lot, I noticed some grinding noise in my vehicle. Drove it back and discovered I had a flat tire. And I was like, how in the world do I have a flat tire? Because I drove the vehicle the day before and had no problem with it, didn't run over anything or whatever. And so by it being Sunday, it's very... Sunday at, you know, 8-ish in the morning, it's very hard to find a place to work on your tire. So we ended up at a place called Jiffy Lube, which is not a good place to go to get your tires fixed. But I guess I was in a little desperation and whatever. I wanted to know why my tire was punctured or whatever, why it was, you know, leaking. And so we got there. And I said, well, while I'm here, I might as well get my vehicle inspected because, you know, I had to get my taxes paid on the vehicle. And altogether, that mess cost me about $300-something to get the inspection and other things, you know, change the air filters, made one critical mistake, which, you know, because of desperation, I didn't question it. You know, they said we'd need to flush your radiator, which I heard stories about flushing radiators a lot of times. The mechanics would tell you, oh, we need to flush your radiator because they want to make a little bit more money. And they did, you know, it was $171. It was a foolish mistake on my part, you know. And I should have said, you know what, leave that alone. We're going to leave that alone, you know. But I guess I was so desperate to get everything done and whatever. I wasn't thinking straight and whatever. But when it came to my tires, the person working on my tires said he couldn't see the problem. He couldn't see, you know, why the tire was leaking. And I was like, well, that's kind of strange, you know. So they had the tires rotated, and I drove back home and sat the, you know, my vehicle in the parking lot for some hours. I took a nap, and I got up. I went outside, and all my tires were fine. I was like, okay, well, maybe the problem, you know, resolved itself or whatever, stuff like that. So later on, you know, went to bed and whatever, and got up Monday morning to go to work. Got myself ready, went outside and checked my tires, and this tire was flat again. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? And I did not want to miss work. I didn't want to miss work at all. Because I'm on one of those type of jobs. If one person is out, it just throws everything into disarray a little bit. You know, not that bad, but I just like to be there to make sure everything is squared away on my job. So called into my job, said I'd either be late or absent. And it turned out I was absent. You know, I just said, you know, because since I work 4 10-hour days, usually I'm off on a Wednesday. I said, well, I'll just make up for it on Wednesday. You know, so the night before, I had purchased a little device from Amazon. It's a little device that tells you your tire pressure. It has a pressure gauge on it. It tells you how many PSIs in your tire and everything. And if it's too low, it could actually fill up your tire. This thing's a little bit bigger than a smartphone. It has a digital display on it, and it did pretty good. It took a while to, you know, fill up my tire because, of course, it was flat, and I had to get it up to 36 PSI. But it did a real good job, and I was able to get the tire. You know, I took the tire because it was Monday. Of course, places were open, and I took it to a place that I usually go to. And I told them, you know, what was wrong with the tire. No one could find out what was wrong with the tire. And so the guys looked at it, and they said, well, sir, you know, we couldn't find out what was wrong with it either. And I'm like, what? Why is the tire getting flat? But it just so happened that the tire was it was a little low on tread. So they suggested I change the tire. And this is where the thing, it kind of hit me real hard, you know, because they told me it would cost $200. I had to get two tires changed. And they told me it would cost $200 a tire, which I was like, you know, that's a little steep. You know, but what was I going to do? You know, I want to play it safe and everything. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and eat this, you know. And it ended up costing me a little more than $500 to get two tires changed. When in the past, when I got tires changed, it cost $80 a tire. And I was like, wow. Long story short, I told my wife, I said, I'd rather have eaten that $500-something and not be safe on the road. So I got peace of mind. We can get that almost $1,000 that we spent over the course of 2 days. We can get that back. I'm not worried about that. You know, it did kind of hurt a little bit, but I'm not worried about that. But that threw me off, and things I wanted to do this week. I wanted to visit some other shows on Conservative Nation Radio, Conservative Nation Media. I wanted to visit some other shows, but it just threw things off. And because I had to work 10 hours a day, 4 days consecutively, it wore me out. I mean, by Thursday, I was like, man, are you kidding me? And then Friday morning, I woke up, and usually when I'm driving to the job, I'm never tired when I drive to the job. I was Friday, and it was just enough for me to keep myself awake to be sure I didn't, you know, sleep at the wheel or anything, you know. And good thing about it, the route that I take, it's not a lot of traffic, you know. And but, man, I was like, and I told my wife, I said, when I get up this morning, Saturday, you know, which is today, I said, I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay in bed and just, because I was wore out. And when I first started this, I first started this 10-hour days about a couple of weeks ago. And they wouldn't give me Monday and Friday as an option, which is what I wanted. I wanted Monday and Friday as my day off, either one. And they said, well, either they said, well, you can only get Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I said, okay, I'll take Wednesday. And now I'm starting to see that that was probably the better choice to take off the Wednesday, because, you know, I could work the Monday and the Tuesday, take Wednesday off, be, you know, well rested for Thursday and Friday, and then have my 2-day weekend, you know. So that was probably the better one, but that threw me off. And like I said on my last show, I wanted to make it a priority to listen to other shows on Blog Talk Radio, because on Conservative Nation Media, you know. Because I don't want people just to be listening to me, and I say, yeah, they listening to me. I don't have to listen to them, you know. And that's not the attitude I've taken. But I want to, you know, add my, you know, 2 cents worth of rhetoric on their programs as well, you know, show support for them. Because, you know, we have several programs on this platform. And I just don't want to be, you know, they'll be like, well, we don't see this or anything. You know, I don't think that they're concerned with that. But still, I want to be able to support their shows, because – over the past several years, I've really gotten a lot of good support for my program, you know. And I'd like to think that my program is kind of unusual in other to other programs. I like to think it is. And I want people to get something out of what I say on my program. I don't want to be here just running off at the mouth and running off at the lip and don't know what I'm talking about. You know, and I tell people, don't just believe me because I'm saying something. Check it out for yourself. You know, we got Google, you know, you can research and, you know, and whatever, and check out what I'm saying to see that what I am saying, whether it's true or not. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not always right all the time. And like I've told people before, I don't have any pride to hurt here. If I do something wrong, if I say something wrong, and you can show me where I said something wrong, then I'm man enough to say, hey, I was wrong. You know, now if I know something to be the truth, you know, if you're going against that truth, I'm still going to stick to the truth no matter what. But if it's a matter of opinion and you show me that my opinion or my point of view is wrong, you know, I have no problem with you telling me, hey, Vincent, look, check this out. This is wrong. Because what I want to be about is the truth. And see, the thing about it, the thing I understand is we all have our point of views. We all have our opinions. There is nothing wrong with having an opinion or point of view. And I really do believe that is God's way of getting us to say, hey, I got this point of view. Let me go and check out my point of view and see if my point of view is right. Let me see if my opinion is right. And if your opinion is right, it's been confirmed by the truth. But if it's not right, then you say, okay, let me change my mode of thinking. Let me hold on to the truth and drop my opinion. But a lot of people, and I noticed this in the black communities a lot, but not just the black communities, but in liberals and conservatives and whatever, when you tell them something and it can be proven that what they have been thinking is wrong, they don't want to change their mode of thinking. They always want to stick to what they've always believed. That's what it's a word for that called cognitive dissonance. When something comes in and disrupts your point of view and you still want to hold on to your point of view in spite of the truth, that is cognitive dissonance. And see, I don't want to get myself involved in cognitive dissonance. I don't want to be that person that can't be corrected. Now, it might hurt my so-called pride. Like I said, I don't really have a lot of pride to hurt. In church circles, it says it hurts your flesh, you know, because your flesh wants to go against the truth. Your flesh always wants to do what pleases it. Your flesh doesn't, the truth cramps your flesh's style. But we have to be mature enough to hold on to the truth, no matter, despite the pain that we're feeling because something came in and disrupted our point of view. And that's why I tell people I'm an independent thinking black person. I just don't follow something because a black person comes and tells me this is the way things are. I don't do that. And it causes some, you know, and people try to direct misery at me because I don't think like they do. You know, I was on my Facebook page earlier this week, and I made the mention that, you know, I'm not a Israelite simply because I am black. And some person came up on there and, you know, told me I'm slow and I'm brainwashed and all that crazy mess and everything. But you got these black groups out here, and sad to say, this is getting into the Christian church as well, that people are, oh, I'm black, so that means I'm a member of the tribe of Judah. You don't know that. Have you checked your DNA? Just because you're black doesn't mean you are a member of the tribe of Judah in the Israeli circles. But people want to get into this black. Of course, we're going through Black History Month now, something I don't celebrate. Because we can't monopolize our history. History is history. And just to take a piece of history and say, oh, this piece of history belongs to us, you're leaving a void in history. You say, oh, this is our history. Well, speak for yourself. I believe in total history, not just a piece of history. So I can, you know, look at this. Ooh, look at what this black man did. Oh, I'm so proud. Look at what this black man did. This black woman did. Oh, look at what these black people did. Okay, now, back in the day, it was necessary to show that black people were just as capable as anyone else when it came to accomplishments. Because back in the day, you know, you did have the racist white folks. Of course, every white person in this country was not racist, but you did have racist white folks, especially here in the South, that wanted to denigrate black people by saying they couldn't make simply by the color of their skin, they weren't able to do the harder jobs and to engage in combat or any of that other stuff. They weren't up to the level of white people. White people were superior. But when we started showing that we could accomplish just as much as white folks do, that's when that started to die out. That mode of thinking started to die out. Of course, you still got people who still think that way today. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying every white person is not a racist. I'm not saying that. And I will never say that. You do have some white people that still carry racial tendencies. Had a person come on the show a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, there may be more racist cops out there than you think, but because they want to keep their jobs, they're not going to let their racism be evident. And I said, yeah, I agree with that. But just because a white cop pulls you over and you're a black person, that does not mean that that cop is racist. He could be. He could be. And, you know, and but his reason for pulling you over was not because of racism. It was because you broke the law. But see, this is the reason why I do this program, is we got to get out of this thinking that the only, you know, we're downtrodden because, you know, history has shown that, you know, black people around the world, we've always been slaves and all this and everything. And I tell people that's a bunch of garbage. That is beaver scat. Because every race, every culture known to man has experienced the horrors of slavery. But you got people out there that want to make this mostly a black thing, that we black people, we suffered the most from slavery. And I talked about this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites. They got several sects. The fastest growing of those sects is the Israel United in Christ. These guys, they wear the purple and gold, and they go out marching, talking about, hey, we're going to clean up this community. And, you know, they get out there and they twist the Bible and say, the Bible says women shouldn't wear pants and we shouldn't be eating shellfish and all that crazy mess. They don't understand the Bible. That's the problem with them. They don't understand the Bible. But we try to make this thing about us, that the Bible is about us, that, you know, this world is supposed to be subdued by us black people, and it leaves white folks out in the lurch. Okay, when God created man, Genesis, the first chapter, I believe it's the 27 and 28 verse, he said he created man in his image. Now, which man did he create in his image? Was it the black man? Was it the white man? Was it the Hispanic man? Was it the yellow man? No, he created man, all mankind. Despite your color, we are made in the image of God. But a lot of these black groups don't understand that. And they tell you the 12 tribes of Israel, those are all the minority groups in the world. And they lead the whites out of it. They lead the Chinese out of it. God created them in his image too. We may have our differences, but we have the basic image of God. And yeah, Pianchi, slavery wasn't as bad in all societies. It wasn't as bad. Excuse me. But we always want to focus on the American slave trade as, oh, you know, the white people did this to us. And, you know, well, what about the slavery that still goes on today in East Africa, in some South American countries, in Asia? There's still slavery going on today. But nobody says anything about that. We just want to focus on the slave trade that involved black people. And see, that's why... Like I said, that's why I do this program. We're so caught up in this world being about us. I've even heard some people say that black people are the real gods. No, we're not. We're no different than anyone else. Skin color. But we were all made in the image of God. But, you know, that's just a lead off into the regular program today. You all know that Sunday was the Super Bowl. And people were excited about the Super Bowl. Oh, we're going to watch the Super Bowl. And in the past, I used to be real excited about the Super Bowl. My wife knew when Super Bowl Sunday came that, hey, so it was time for the Super Bowl. We were going to get pizza, you know, this and everything. And we were going to call we were going to call a pizza place and, you know, we're going to sit down and watch the Super Bowl. Well, I'm going to sit down and watch the Super Bowl because my wife, she's not into football and everything. And I used to be excited about watching the Super Bowl. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, they won another Super Bowl, which means they won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, which means right now they are the current dynasty. And a lot of people, Bianchi, you know, and he says black Americans are not Africans. They are U.S. citizens. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I tell people. I turned in my black card a long time ago. I'm a U.S. citizen, you know. But, you know, of course, there were 2 things that I noticed about the Super Bowl was that the Lift Every Voice and Sing song, the so-called black national anthem, and the presence of a singer known as Taylor Swift. And both of those make me not want to watch the game, you know, but I stopped watching the Super Bowl with the exception of last year, because last year, man in my church, he said, can you cheer on my Kansas City Chiefs and everything? And I said, okay, you know, so I watched the Super Bowl last year because of that. And I was the type of person, I'm going to keep my promise. And of course, the Kansas City Chiefs won last year. They're the first back-to-back. They're the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots some years ago. Should have been the Seahawks, but it was the Patriots. But I digress. But I really had no excitement of watching the Super Bowl this year, you know, because I knew the wokeness was going to come out. And sure enough, you know, Lift Every Voice and Sing, you know, that's one of the things that disgusted me about last year's Super Bowl. I'm about to watch the Super Bowl and they're coming up and they're doing Lift Every Voice and Sing. Now, why they have allowed that song to be sung at the Super Bowl is beyond me. And I just see it as white patronization. White guilt that leads to patronization. Okay, we got to get a black people there song. And what that does, yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And what that does, that seeks to divide us because we call this the black national anthem. Now, the Star Spangled Banner is just known as the national anthem. And people say, oh, it's the white national anthem because it's racist and everything, and they talk about slavery and everything. I've seen the stanzas in that song, and that song is not as racist as people make it out to be. Now, I would prefer America the Beautiful or God Bless America as a national anthem, but I'm not trying to get rid of the Star Spangled Banner as being our national anthem. I think it's a great anthem, you know. And if they keep it as our national, that's fine. But the black national anthem, that's all that is about is satisfying and soothing the souls of black people. And keep in mind, it's not all black people who like that song. Because I'm one of those, I do not like that song. I never liked that song. When I first came down here to Durham, North Carolina in 1986 to go to North Carolina Central University, they sang that song during, you know, our assemblies and everything and stuff like that. And I was like, I ain't never heard this song before, but I didn't like the song. And then some years later, a few years later, someone told me, said, every time a black person hears that song, they're supposed to stand to attention. And I'm sitting there like, says who? The lies you tell, ain't no one ever told me that. You're supposed to stand at attention when you hear that song. Says who? And then a few years later, some years later after that, I heard that this is the black national anthem. Now, can someone tell me where the nation of black is? Can someone tell me that? Not Bianchi. They never asked me. They never asked me if they wanted that to be my song. They never came around and said, what do you think our national anthem should be? They never gave me a survey or anything. They just said, this is a black national anthem. They just threw it on us and said, oh, you're black and this is your national. That ain't my national anthem. It's not my national anthem. Now, if you want to, if you want it to be yours and you want to sing it and everything, that's fine. You have that right. But don't shove it down my throat and make me, you know, want to like this song because I'm black and this is a black national anthem and you better like this song because this song is for black people. It ain't for me. And don't get upset when I say I don't like the song. If you like the song, that's fine. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. I don't like the song. I think it sucks. But if you like it, that's fine. Just like, you know, when we sing the national anthem, the real national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, if people don't stand up for it, I got no problem with it. If I was at a football stadium and they started singing the national anthem and people around me were sitting down, I'd be like, okay, well, hey, I'm going to show my loyalty to this country. But the thing about it was, now, here's the hypocrisy of the thing. I forgot the name of that congressman in X that used to be Twitter. He said it was a shame that people didn't stand up for the black national anthem. And when they were singing the black national anthem, people weren't cheering. People were getting up. They were like, oh, okay, this is time for me to get my soda or whatever. You know, people weren't standing to attention. They only stood to attention at the real national anthem. Matter of fact, I saw a couple of black players sitting on the sidelines crying when they heard the national anthem. And I was like, now, see, this is our national. Now, you say, okay, we got to have our national anthem. We got to have a black national anthem. That is divisive. What's wrong with the national anthem? It covers everybody. Black, white, yellow, candy stripe, whatever. But because of wokeness, the wokest had to get in. And the football commissioner who doesn't seem to want to change, you know, stop racism. You know, you see that phrase in the end zones now. And to me, it's become more of an eyesore, which is why I don't NFL games anymore. Now, I will admit, I watched the highlights because football was my favorite sport to watch on TV. Professional football. I can't get into college. I can't get into the XFL or the other football leagues or anything. The only football I like watching was professional football. But the wokers have ruined that for me. Thank you, Colin Kaepernick. Yes, Steve Cohen. Thank you, Pianchi. They ruined the game of football for me. They just ruined it. I mean, I don't watch football to gain, you know, some political insight into anything. I watch football because I want to watch 22 men beat each other senseless over a oval-shaped piece of brown leather to see who's going to win. That's all I watch football for. I don't care about your political leanings. I don't want to hear about your political leanings. And on the other hand, I am sick and tired of seeing Taylor Swift being paraded across the TV screen because she's dating Travis Kelce. Congratulations to Travis Kelce for his Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Congratulations. But I don't need to see your girlfriend who still acts like she's a teenager or a young adult. She's 34 years old. She's about to knock down the wall of 40. I don't need to see Taylor Swift. I don't think Taylor Swift is a talented singer. She might be popular. She's not talented. You can disagree with me on that one too, but I just don't think she's talented. And, oh, gosh, Bianchi, you made a good point. Pianki says a small grouping of blacks want their own nation. Well, some African countries offered land, but they want to be under the protection of white America. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, they're not. Y'all hear about, you know, if Trump wins the election, certain people say, I'm going to move to Canada. You ain't going nowhere. And if you think that's going to get me to vote for somebody else, you can go bye. Like it's going to hurt us because you moved to Canada. Go. Really, I think you're hurting us by staying in the United States. Go to Canada. Bye. Shoot. But this is the state of the country we live in today. We have allowed politics to poison every corner of society. Put politics in its place. We don't need politics when I'm watching the Boston Celtics play against the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't need your politics. Say that for another time. I want to get away from that garbage. I want to see the Miami Dolphins beat up on the New England Patriots. That's what I want to see. I don't want to watch a game and see stop racism in the end zone. I don't want to see that garbage. It's an eyesore. Stop racism. Okay. Define racism. Define what that means. Are you talking about the white on black variety? Because that's the only racism I think they're talking about. Or not just the white on black variety, the white on everybody else variety, because, you know, only white people can be racist. White on Asian, white on Hispanic, white on Filipino, white on whoever. But what about when someone commits an act of racism against white people? Because it does happen. Believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not. It does happen. And we look at the NFL. If I'm correct, I think the NFL is about three quarters black. Who won the MVP for this year's Super Bowl? Dude named Patrick Mahomes, so-called black guy. Really, I don't think he's black. He has a black parent and a white parent. But if you got that one drop rule going on, you know, they say you're black and all that, you know. That's why I say he's a so-called black person. Oh my goodness, Pianki. Oh, man, I'm glad you brought that up. I am so glad you brought that up because I was saying the same thing this week. Wednesday, I believe it was, they had a parade for the Kansas City Chiefs, which they have a parade in every city that their team wins the Super Bowl. Everyone has a parade. Yay, my team won. You know, I don't participate in that type of stuff, but I have no problem with people. Hey, okay, you want to celebrate your team won the Super Bowl. So some jerks get out there, and they decide to shoot up the place. One witness said this lady was telling this one guy, no, don't do that here. This is stupid. Don't be doing that here. And the guy started shooting in a circle. Injured 22 people, killed a well-known DJ in the Kansas City area. Has anyone seen a picture of these shooters? They said it was one adult and two juveniles. One adult and two juveniles. But we haven't seen a picture. Let me just say this. I haven't seen a picture of anyone, and I've looked everywhere. I even seen a picture. They say, oh, this is a shooter, and it turns out that wasn't the shooter. We haven't seen a picture of the shooter. And Pianki makes another good point. He says that is an indication they were black since they haven't shown their pictures. Yeah, when a black person shoots up a public place like that, They're very reluctant to show the pictures because, oh, we don't want to be seen as racist. But a white person do it, white juvenile can do it, and they'll put his picture all on the news. If they don't, they'll say it was a white juvenile that did this. I don't know, how old was Dylan Roof when he shot up that church? I forgot how old he was. But we know about Dylan Roof. We know all about him. It says, if they were white males with MAGA caps, the faces would be all over the place. Yeah, exactly. They may have been illegals too. Yeah. And that's part of it too for me, because I'm thinking maybe they were illegal aliens or something like that. But why in the world are you going to choose a public venue like people celebrating their team's victory in a Super Bowl to carry out your disputes? Why are you going to do that? That's stupid. If you got a dispute with somebody, why don't you take it out in private? Why you got to do it in public? I mean, it's almost like you want to hurt people. I can guarantee you that every player involved in this shooting is black. Well, you act like white people don't commit crimes either. I didn't say that. But very rarely, when you have a shooting of this magnitude, does it turn out to be a white person. Very, very rarely. Now, we can reminisce about the Boston bombing some years ago. Those were white kids. That's the exception to the rule. But most of the time, when you have a shooting like this, when a bunch of people just get out there and start shooting people wantonly and just indiscriminately, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be black. And I hate to say that. I really do hate saying that. It gives me no joy to say that. Because people, they automatically think, oh, you just trying to kick it to the white man. You just trying to tear down black people. Well, no, black people are tearing themselves down. If you don't want me to quote-unquote tear down black people, you need to tell the black people to stop killing one another. They stop doing that, I'll stop talking about it. But until it stops, I'm going to keep on talking about it, because I am sick and tired of black people getting up here talking about they being held back by the white man this and the white man that, and they get out here and they treat each other worse than any white man ever has. So I'm going to keep on talking about it. I am sick and tired of hearing black families getting in disarray because a black member of their family dies, leaves some certain amount of money, and people getting mad because this person is getting more money than this person is. I'm sick and tired of that. And y'all want to sit there and talk about Black Lives Matter? A black male in a white church in Tennessee shot it up. He said he wanted to kill 10 whites. Yeah, nobody talks about that. No one talks about that. But we sit here, we can do each other dirty. But nobody talks about that. But let a white person play a part in some unfortunate circumstance with a black person. And we're out there, oh, Black Lives Matter. Stop killing black people. Okay, you want the killing of black people to stop? Tell black people to stop shooting other black people. I mean, you want to be equal? You want to be equal? Well, whenever a black criminal commits a crime, they need to get as much equal face time on the TV screen as any white person. Because let me tell you all something. Crime doesn't know skin color. Crime doesn't know skin color. Crime can be committed by anybody. And you hear pointing out what the white man is doing. You know, you hear him talk about, oh, the reason why so many of us black people are getting shot because once upon a time, the white man introduced guns into our neighborhoods. Well, you didn't have to accept them. We're on drugs because the white man introduced drugs into our neighborhoods. You didn't have to accept them. I tell people this all the time. When I was coming up and they were telling us about the dangers of drugs and the effects these drugs would have, the side effects and everything, and that, you know, some people actually died because they suffered such severe withdrawal from a drug when they stopped doing the drugs that it ended up killing them. When I heard about all that, I was like, drugs are bad. I'm not going to touch them. And I've never touched LSD, heroin. I haven't so much as smoked a joint. I remember when crack cocaine started gaining prominence in the D.C. area. You got 14-year-old kids carrying $4,000 cash in their pockets. I wasn't going to get involved in drugs in any kind of way. I ain't touching that mess. Because I was like, no. When I heard that LSD made some people think they could fly, oh, no, I ain't touching that mess. I haven't as so much as gotten drunk in my life because I didn't even want to get drunk. Because I attributed drunkenness to being dizzy. And I remember when I was 6 years old, my brother and I, we spent the summer in Roanoke, Virginia. In 1975, I was 6 years old. He was five. And right across the street from my grandmother's house was a school, and school had a playground. And they had those, you know, the merry-go-rounds that we used to play on. You know, you run, and then you jump on it, and the thing goes around, around, around. I got on one of those. And that thing got me so dizzy. I tottered across the street. Went to my grandmother's house. I was sick as a dog. And I remember as soon as I stepped into the kitchen, I threw up right on the floor. And for some reason, I always attributed that to how a person feels when they are drunk. I don't know how it is to feel when you get drunk or anything, but that's I always associated that feeling with the feeling of drunkenness. And I said, I'll never get drunk. Now, have I drunk alcohol before? Yes, I have. But the last time I drank an alcoholic beverage was back in 1986 when I shouldn't have been drinking it in the first place. It was a California cooler. If anybody remembers that, them California coolers that got popular for like 5 minutes in the 1980s. But I was like, I don't want to touch any of that stuff. And I remember my first year at North Carolina Central University during homecoming weekend. My roommate comes in. He said, Vince, you should see it. This man looked like he was going to throw up. He missed the toilet, and he is passed out in the bathroom. And I went into that bathroom, and the stench was just unbearable. I mean, I could barely take a shower. This guy lay passed out. And while I was in the shower, the police officer came in and said, hey, dude, you need to get up and everything. Throw up all over the place. And you know what? That vomit didn't get cleaned up until a week later. And I'm like, how come they're not cleaning up the vomit? I mean, it was about a week later before that vomit got cleaned up. Someone finally came in there and cleaned it up. And that just reaffirmed me. I said, oh, I'm a freshman in college, but oh, that's a good reminder. Do not drink. Because I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be the person, you know, you laying down, you drunk and everything, and people looking at you, laughing at you and everything, and you wake up and you're caked in vomit. I was like, that's not the life I want. And people would call me good little boy and, you know, you're square and all that. You can call me all that if you want to. You know, you want to do the drugs and alcohol, you go right ahead. But when I heard about these side effects and everything and stuff, no. Hey, Vince, you want some cocaine? No. Not about to start it. But when I hear these excuses of why black people are falling short, you know, like I said, I listen to these Hebrew Israelites. They say we're the most downtrodden people in everywhere you go. We're the most downtrodden. Okay, we're the most downtrodden because we make the worst mistakes. And some people call it a curse. You can call it whatever you want to. I don't think it's a curse. Because if I can use my common sense and say, you know what, I'm not going to use that stuff. I'm not going to get involved in this type of activity. Anybody can do it. So I don't believe it's a curse on black people. I really don't. If you want to believe that, you go right ahead and believe it. But I do not believe that it's a curse on black people. I think black people as a collective in general have decided, oh, this is the type of activity we want to get involved in. And me, I'm the type of person, I don't want to get involved in that type of activity. Hey, you all do your thing over there. I'm going to be over here in my own little space over here. Do your thing. But don't try to call me coon and all that other mess because I don't agree with your lifestyle. I can't recall ever being felt like the token black guy whenever I came around white people. Because believe it or not, if you're a racist white person, I'm going to tell you about yourself too. I don't like any kind of racism. I don't like the white on black variety. I don't like the black on white. I don't like the black on Hispanic. I don't like the Hispanic on white. Any type of racism, I don't approve of it. And I'm not going to stop at black people. I'm going to point out the racism in the black races as well. And I know a lot of people like, oh, well, you know, black people can't be racist. Yeah, yes, they can. Yes, they can. Why can't they be racist? Now, that's just an excuse to make yourself feel superior to other races, which in and of itself is racism. When you get bands of black people who beat up on a bunch of white people for no reason at all, that's not racism. Come on now. Come on. You can be just as racist as anybody else. Shoot, you even show racism within your own race. Shoot, when I was coming up, we used to make fun of people who were real dark. Call them crispy and all that crazy mess. Black people have made more racist comments against me than white people did. Yes, I've had white people call me the N-word. Yeah. It wasn't very common. It was very rare. But the people used to talk about how I looked, how I talked, my nappy hair, how I walked and everything. Those were mostly black people. And I was talking to my mom last week, and my mom, she grew up in the Jim Crow era. You know what she told me? She said, Vincent, it's the same thing when I was growing up. Most of the people who talked bad about me were other black people. Now, I was talking to my mom. She used to go to a school called Douglas High School in Bristol, Tennessee. Because my mom, she was born in Bristol. And that high school is still running. That high school is still up and running. And she told me the people who made most fun about her when she was growing up were black people. So when I hear these people talk about the white man's holding us back and everything, look, everywhere you go, if you have a dream or aspiration to do something, there's going to be people who hold you back. Or try to hold you back. Let me say that. Try to hold you back. But if you don't have the determination to overcome that adversity, of course you're not gonna succeed. If you're gonna sit around and say, well, I'm not gonna do this because the white man is gonna hold me back, then the white man really ain't holding you back. It's your own convoluted thinking that's holding you back, not the white man. Well, how come we don't have a lot of black millionaires? Well, we got millionaires, we got billionaires. But you got to understand that black people are only 13% of the population of this country. So we're not going to saturate every aspect in this country. You know, I hear these people talking about how come we don't have black NFL owners and everything. Well, you get enough of them to own a team, you know, it'll happen. But nobody's preventing them from owning a team or coaching a team. It's because you don't have enough black people who are aspiring to be an owner of a football team. White influences and everything. And yeah, when's the last time we had a incident in Chicago? Now that Pianki mentions it. When's the last time we had an incident in Chicago involving a white cop and a black person? Can someone enlighten me on that? Can someone please enlighten me on that? And then they say it's due to white influences. Everything is a white person. Everybody, you know, every shortcoming that black people have in this country is because of white people. That's what they tell you. The white man does. How come we live in the neighborhoods we do? We even attribute, you know, the illegitimate pregnancies. We attribute that to white folks. So basically what you're saying is as a people, we black folks are not as strong as the white people. Everything we do that is negative is being influenced by the white folks. They're the reasons why we have out of wedlock pregnancies. They're the reason why our kids are not up to par in education. The white people are the reason why that we're not financially stable as the white man. No, it's because of your own convoluted thinking and the choices that you make. It's because of the choices you make. You can't blame that on the white man. Stop blaming it on the white man. The white man is not your problem. You're your own problem. And I'm so tired of hearing people downing this country, this great country of ours, and saying, you know, America, they always messing up everything. Okay, well then, if America's messing up everything, why don't you find you a country where things are not being messed up as they are in America? Why don't you do that? And these people, they sit there and they complain. The gate is wide open for you to leave. Nobody is holding you here. But you want to sit here and complain about how bad this country is, but you don't want to leave. Go, bye. Why don't you leave? Nobody's holding you back. No iron curtain. No razor wire. No barbed wire fences are holding you in. No guards standing at towers making sure you don't leave the boundaries of this country. Go. Bye. Our country would probably be better off without you. But anyway, yeah, being on time is racist. Multiplication is racist. Algebra is racist. I think algebra is racist, though. No, I'm just kidding. I just say that because I don't like algebra. But anyway, we are at the top of the hour. Let me do the advertisements, and when I come back, we will continue. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio. Yeah.
We have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A good one especially for those sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's how she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit the shelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Oh, my goodness. I had my mic off. I'm over here talking, just running up the mouth, and my microphone is off. Sorry about that, y'all. So basically, I was talking about hater syndrome. When you're so hated that people will not give you the benefit of the doubt. That's why we see what's going on with Donald Trump right now, you know, because of hater syndrome. Donald Trump can't do anything. He can't do anything good enough for people to love him. He can get rid of the worst terrorists in the world. It's not going to happen. And, you know, the point I was making was, you know, I used to be, you know, a victim of hater syndrome. And it wasn't because I did anything really to get people to hate me. They just didn't like me. They didn't like the way I looked. They didn't like the way I talked. And so people just decided they didn't like me. And so a person can come up and they'll say, hey, man, Vincent was talking about your mama. And then you'll get in my face and say, Vincent, why were you talking about my mama? I don't know your mama. I don't know you. So-and-so say you were talking about my mama. Why are you talking about my mama? And then you want to fight me for talking about your mama. I hadn't said a thing about your mama. I ain't thinking about you. But you want to believe it because you hate me. That's what I call hater syndrome. Hater syndrome has you mocking a person in their misfortune when you wouldn't do it to anyone else. Like if I had a heart attack, people would sit there and probably laugh at me. Oh, Vincent's having a heart attack. But someone else having a heart attack. Hey, call the police. Dial 911. This person's having a heart attack. But if it were me, look at Vincent, he's having a heart attack. Hope he die. I know about hater syndrome. I know about it. And I see the same thing happening with Donald Trump. Donald Trump can't do anything good enough to get people to stop hating him because they hate him so much because they learn to hate him because of the brainwashing of our national media. They painted a picture of Donald Trump. They wanted you to believe. And a lot of us, we bought a hook, line, and sinker Like I said before, Donald Trump can stop and pet a cat on the sidewalk, and people will accuse him of rubbing his fur the wrong way. Look at Donald Trump. Why is he, look at how he's petting that cat. But someone else, like an Obama, can do the same thing, and they'll be like, look, that cat really loves Obama. Hater syndrome. Hater syndrome gets you to, it makes you hate a person for no reason at all. And because you have such a hatred for that person, when that person does something positive, it just goes over your head. You'll never get by, you'll never get on the good side of a person who hates you unless they dig within themselves and say, you know what, I'm going to stop hating him. I'm going to start, you know, doing it. You're not going to get on the good side of a person who hates you. And that's what's happening with Donald Trump. That's why we have these cases against Donald Trump. You know, this one lady, he didn't even know, accuses him of, you know, some sexual dallying with her. And now he has to pay her $85 million? And then this case this week, talking about some type of fraud he engineered up in New York, and he has to pay another, how many, $400 million? They're trying to run him bankrupt because they do not want him to run for president again, because they think he ran us, they think he ran us into the ground his first 4 years, which he didn't. But they're so brainwashed. They don't. They overlook the good that Donald Trump did. See, I was willing to give Donald Trump a chance because I didn't vote for him that first time. Probably should have. But I didn't vote for him that first time because I wasn't convinced about him. But when I saw what he was doing, I said, oh, shoot, man, shoot. I'm voting for Donald Trump. Lowest unemployment rate among black people ever. Lowest unemployment numbers across the board, I think, ever. But, oh, no, we can't look at that. We got to look at Donald Trump as a racist. Now we got a president who's basically depleted our strategic oil reserves, selling it to China and Eastern Europe. And it's going to take decades to build that back up. And now they're trying to use, you know, y'all notice how crazy the gas prices are lately? They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down, they go up, because they're trying to apply solutions that are not sustainable. That's why the gas prices go down for a while, then they go back up again, they go down, they go up. I mean, it's like a heart monitor or something. Because they keep applying solutions that are not sustainable. But we don't want to blame Sleepy Joe. We don't want to blame him. Because the hatred for Donald Trump is so great, we overlook Sleepy Joe's shortcomings. We overlook it all. Because we don't want Donald Trump to be our president again. We don't want him to be our president again. Because he ran us into the ground. From 2016, from 2017 to 2020, 2021. And people believe that. People actually believe that. They actually believe that Donald Trump said that Donald Trump was trying to imply that there are good people who are white supremacists, when Donald Trump said the opposite. There are people who actually believe that Donald Trump said that Mexicans are nothing but rapists and murderers, when he didn't say that. You know why? Because our news media spun the stories to make you believe a certain thing. And the evidence is out there to show you contrary to what you are believing, but you don't want to see it because, oh, conservatives, they don't like black people. Conservatives, I don't want to listen to conservatives. I don't want to hear anything from conservatives. So now you're just getting your information from one point of view that agrees with your own, instead of trying to, you know, look for something that doesn't agree with your point of view, but you just want information that agrees with your point of view. because it makes you feel comfortable. Because if you listen to somebody else's point of view, it makes you feel uncomfortable. You're not going to read a book. You're not going to read a book by what's that man's name? The black guy, Tom. Good gracious, Walter Williams, Shelby Steele, and the other guy who's still alive. Gosh, I can't remember his name to save my life. You're not going to read a book by them, but you'll read a book by Ibram X. Kendi or any of these other people that support your point of view. See, me, I got a book by Ibram X. Kendi. Plan on reading it, too. What's that lady talks about uncomfortable whites? Gosh, I need to get this stuff together. I got about three books. I got three books that have an opposing point of view to my own. Because I don't want to just sit there and listen to someone who's just going to agree with my point of view. I want to hear somebody else's point of view as well. But the mainstream liberals, they don't want to hear a point of view that is not theirs. That's why they were so hostile against Fox News. Especially back in the day, because Fox News said, okay, we're going to give equal time for each point of view. They didn't want that. So they started making up these lies about Fox News. Now, Fox News is falling out of the way since their early days. And I don't know why, but, you know, I guess they're trying to gain favor with, you know, the liberal side or whatever. I'm not too sure about that, but liberals don't want to hear a point of view that is not their own. I even told a family member last year, I said, won't you read this book by some? No, that's my conservative. And see, that's what fosters stupidity. See, stupidity is fostered by you just keeping a one-track mind on something that is your point of view instead of reading something that opposes your point of view. It makes you uneasy when you hear somebody else's point of view pointing out something that you're not comfortable with. And when that person told me, said, oh, no, I won't read that. It's conservative. I said, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to read something by this person because that person is a conservative. See, that's where stupidity breeds, and that one-mindedness, that little tunnel-minded syndrome that a lot of people have. I'm willing to read anything by anybody, even if it opposes my point of view. But see, that's the liberal mindset. I cannot read something by a conservative because it cramps my style. It messes up my thinking. It disturbs my point of view. It upsets my thinking. And that's why they continue to believe like they do. Now, there are certain people, hey, what's up, Suzette? What's cracking? Heard you got a new show. Gotta check it out. But see, that's one thing I had to guard against, was just reading something that agrees with my point of view. You never know. The person whose point of view is different from your own, you might learn something from them. You might learn, hey, you know, maybe the people that we didn't like their point of view, maybe they're not so bad after all. But you're so caught up in your pride. You're so caught up in your pride. Your pride is so precious to you that if somebody disturbs your point of view, it breaks your pride. And that actually hurts. It hurts. It hurts you to hear another point of view. That's why I despise liberalism. That's why I despise it so much. Because liberalism tells you, okay, I've been reading, liberalism will say, you've been reading that? Why are you reading that? You need to read this. Now, conservative more than likely will tell you, hey, now I've been reading this. I don't agree with what that is saying, but I'll read it, you know, just to get some insight. That's how the conservative mind is supposed to go. Some conservatives are not. Some conservatives are actually got that tunnel vision too. I want to read that because it's a liberal. That's just as stupid too. Now, I'm just saying that. I mean, that's just how I see the world. You all know it's that time. That's the fruit bat alert. That means I got callers, and just to let you know, and you know, I just want people to know that you know, if you're on the phone and you want to, you know, involve yourself in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassination, trolling, things of that sort, gaslighting, you best hang up now, because I will be more than happy to oblige you. Okay. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. It's not about being, you know, in disagreement or anything. We can agree to disagree, but don't come here being a fruit bat, okay? But anyway, having said that, let me get this caller as if I don't know who this is. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vincent. These prosecutors that's prosecuting Trump, these black females, you know, let's look at the one in New York, Letitia James.
Yeah.
What did she say the reason why she's prosecuting Trump?
Something about some. I don't know offhand, but I think it's some type of fraud in a business he did up in New York or something like that. I don't know all the details of it or anything, because I was surprised. I was like, wait a minute, I ain't heard of this one.
Well, she basically said that when he went to get bank loans, he was valuing his property more than what she ascertained it to be worth. But he also put a notation in the contract that the lender should do their own due diligence and do their fact check. Well, he did. He took the loans, paid them back with interest like he promised to do. But she said that he frauded them. Okay.
I mean,
Let me ask you a question, Vincent. Have you ever had an automobile accident where you experienced body damage and you had to go to a body shop to get estimates and repair? Have you ever had that?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, let me ask you a question, Vincent. Did the body shop tell you that they will work with you on your deductible? Because we know that the insurance company is not going to pay the entire amount. They're going to pay whatever the deductible is on your policy.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
I never had anyone work with me on my deductible. Never.
But you probably have seen advertisements as you drove by body shops that said, we will work with you on your deductible.
Yep.
Now, let me tell you what's going on there. They do. If suppose you had a $500 deductible and the work total to be $9,500 complete. So what they would do, they would charge you $10,000 or maybe $10,500, because then the insurance company would only pay $10,000. Well, you get the $10,000, you would pay for your deductible, and the rest of it, $9,500, would go toward the repair of the car. Guess what, Vincent? That's fraud. That's fraud all day long.
Wait a minute. Wait, wait,
wait, New York as we speak.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. All right. Bianca, you just said something very profound. Say that slowly for the people in the back.
It's fraud.
You just blew my mind, man. You just blew my mind. I never thought of it like that, but now that you said it, I'm like, wait a minute. This dude got a point here.
You're damn right it's a point. And guess who else do it? Homeowners insurance casualties.
Oh,
the same
my.
Thing with a contractor. The contractor will charge you a price that will include your deductible so that the insurance company pays the deductible rather than you. In both instances.
Wow. And that's basically what's happening with Donald Trump right now.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to have to shoot a fruit bat on that one. I'm going to have to give you a fruit bat shot on that one.
Just think about it when you get some time. And see, that's what these idiots don't know.
I ain't mean for to shoot that many times.
Now, wait a minute. It don't end there. She campaigned on what? Going out
on,
with Donald,
on,
Trump.
Donald Trump. Yep, exactly. That's what she campaigned on.
And what did she say about the judge? She said the judge agreed that he was guilty. And guess what, Vincent? That was before the damn trial.
Yeah, that was before the evidence even got out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I tell you. And how much did they? I think it was. I don't know if it was $400 million or $800 million.
$360 million. But guess what now?
Man.
People think that he's paying for that out of his pocket. No, that's the company, and it would be a business expense.
Yep.
Because when you have a C corporation, there exists a veil between you and the corporation.
That's right.
And you may be going one part.
Yep.
Now, you've got two things going on here. One, most importantly, people that voted for this woman based on what she said.
Yep. Certainly did. Oh, she's going to get Donald Trump. Yeah, she gets my vote.
Then, secondly, you got her being ignoramus. And I don't know where this judge come from. It just goes to show you.
I don't know. Maybe
that's what
maybe
I'm
it's
talking
the same
about, man.
Maybe it's the same situation going down in Georgia with Fannie Willis.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about that one. See, let me tell you about that one. Hang on now. I know you're sitting down. See, she's going to be looked at for using public money for her own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gave her boyfriend this exuberant amount of salary, claiming that, well, they used to get white men the same thing. Don't black men deserve it? Yeah, okay. But they went on a trip and did some other things where he paid. Well, you know, she said that she didn't benefit. She said she paid it back. So when she said that, what is she effectively doing, Vincent? She's admitting that she used the money for her own benefit.
Yep. And she says she's going to pay you back. Yep, that's exactly what she's saying.
You see what I'm saying? Only some lame brains would listen to that and not pick up on it. Only some lame brains would listen to Letitia James and her rant and not pick up on it. That's what the problem is. You're dealing with some idiots.
Straight up. Beautiful
not
black queen.
Not that the prosecutors ain't idiots, which they are, for even trying some stuff like that and being coerced to do that.
Wow.
I don't think that woman woke up at night thinking on that of her own. She's been put up to do that, like that Kim Gardner in St. Louis, first black female prosecutor for the city of St. Louis, is kicked out, and now she's back at the hospital drawing blood from patients.
Oh, gosh. Now, when you say drawing blood, do you mean with her fangs or with a syringe?
Well, in this case, it's a syringe. You see how these people are, man? You see the things that you're faced with?
And it doesn't take a lot of investigating to see this going on.
Hell, it shouldn't have took a lot of understanding to vote for them, either one of them especially. That Letitia James and her rant that she gave. If Fannie Willis is talking about, well, you know, her father was a Black Panther out in California.
Yeah.
Well, look at all the stuff that they've done in their lifetime. And then you had Ron Karenga and his organization, Us, United Slaves. They killed Black Panthers. They tortured Black women by hanging them from the ceiling rafters by their ankles.
Charlie took a
water hose and stuck it in their vagina and waterboarded their vagina while sticking lit cigarettes to their body.
Now, wasn't the person that started the holiday Kwanzaa involved with that too?
That's him.
That's him. Yeah. I knew it.
Maybe that's why these kids acting a damn fool all the time.
Yeah.
They following another fool. You know how that goes.
And Suzette, she put in the chat room. She got the money from the bank where I rest my head. Have you heard of that bank? That's a new where I rest my head.
Is that the name of the bank where I rest my head?
Yeah,
I wouldn't go in that
where
damn
I rest
place.
My head in quotation. Yeah, she got it in quotation marks. It says, "Have you heard of that bank?" No, I never heard of that bank.
Me neither. I wouldn't work. I ain't put my money in that damn bank.
I know that's right.
That sounds like a cemetery to me.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Sound like an epitaph or something.
So
good
if
gracious.
Her father was a Black Panther, you know you had some Black Panthers out there that was killing whites. They called zebra killers. I mean, don't have to believe
exactly.
Look it up.
Exactly.
I wonder if he was one of them. I wonder if he was one
Could've
of them
been.
That went into the California General Assembly and staged a coup with shotguns, causing the assembly people to flee. That sounds like a coup to me.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too. Yeah. And for those of you all who don't understand what Pianchi is talking about, just look up the zebra murders in San Francisco. A lot of us, you know, now that we're in Black History Month, you know, how about this for Black History? You know, in October of 1973 to April of 1974, they killed at least 15 white people. Called the zebra murders. Now, I never heard of the zebra murders until last year. Compliments of yours truly, Pianchi. Pianchi was the first one that notified me that I had never heard of the zebra murders until last year. And I'm like, oh my God, will you look at this? You know, but we don't hear about this. You know, we always got to hear about everything that's all good and flowery and peachy and creamy about black people. But we don't hear about this. We always want to point every time a white person shoots up a school, but we don't point to the zebra murders or anything like that. We don't look at that.
Well, you got Little, that black man, he's the number one serial killer in the country. I can't think of his first name. He killed 93 white women. Strangled them. They made a statue for Emmett Till, which is all right. But they don't tell the story about Emmett Till's father, who used to physically assault his mama, beat the hell out of her.
Wow.
Matter of fact, he had a restraining order against him, and when he went to court, after he broke it, the judge gave him an option. You going to prison or you going to the military? So he chose the military. Okay, you sitting down?
Oh, yeah.
He gets stationed over in Italy. And over there, him and another man rape either two or three white Italian women.
Oh, boy.
That's Emmett Till's daddy.
Wow.
Of course, he got court-martialed, and they shot him in the court-martial. They don't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. That's my first time hearing that one, too. Man, shoot, I need to get on the ball here.
Now, your wife is Liberian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, your wife tells African Americans they ain't African.
Oh, yeah.
She can see it. She can see
it.
I know it's going to hurt their feelings.
She'll tell them straight up, y'all ain't African. She'll tell them straight up. She tells them you don't know what it is to live in Africa. So don't even call yourself an African American.
She can tell them, I told them. And they ain't ancient Egyptians neither. They like to assimilate themselves with skin color. That ain't the rule. That's only prevalent here in the United States for some reason or another. We know why.
Yeah.
But it's the only place that I know of where people identify. And see, here's another thing. You want to see a variety of black head shapes, lips, nose, eyes. Come to the United States. That's where they are. But if you go into a market, you go into a market over there in either Kumasi or Accra Market in Ghana, Calabar, and all them people look alike. Same bone structure in their cheek, forehead, eyebrow, height. That ain't the case here.
No. And another thing, too, about Liberia, and this is something I've confirmed myself, in their constitution, if you are a non-Negro, you cannot become a citizen of Liberia.
That's right. It's in their constitution. It's only for Negroes.
It's in their constitution. I have seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And I was like, wow.
What was that word you said?
What was it? Racist?
A non-what?
What was it? Non-Negro.
Oh, Benson. Where is it, teacher? The principal came on the loudspeaker and told the kids, Happy Negro History Month.
Oh, baby.
The kids got upset, went home and told the parents got upset. You called us Negroes? Well, damn. Carter G. Washington wrote a famous book that was required reading by everybody in the movie called what? The Miseducation of the Negro. And it was called what? Negro History Week.
Yep. I don't know why. I mean, we could call Asians mongoloids, and we could call people Filipino and stuff like that, but if we call a black person a Negro, all of a sudden it's an insult. But all Negro means is darker skin.
Well, when they were called Negro, if you called them black, it was an insult. You can go into any of those African countries. You can go in the market, and you can see a sea of people. None of them describe themselves as black.
They certainly don't.
So is Alicia Keys black? Is Derek Jeter black? Hey, wait a minute. Elon Musk, he's African.
Yep.
You don't call himself black.
Yep. Shoot, I need to check my excuses.
Well, you know, the white man raped us.
I need to check my ancestry. I might not be black. Some people already think I'm not black anyway. So I might as well, go the whole 10 yards, hey.
Well, wait a minute now. Hang on. I know you're still sitting down. Don't get up yet.
Uh-oh.
Kunta Kinte.
Yeah.
His third generation grandfather was white.
Yep.
Pale white.
And you can't even tell it because he's about as dark as any African. Yeah, LeVar Burton. Yep.
His white grandfather.
Yep.
So I
Angela
guess he
Davis.
Raped it. I guess he was raping. That's the always
yeah.
excuse. Well, they miseducated. If they being miseducated, then they was raped. Say
yeah.
Sally Hemings oh. was raped and held hostage by Thomas Jefferson. Well, he took her. She traveled to France with him several times. She could have ran
yeah.
off at any point, but did she?
Exactly. Especially in France. France was kind of friendly to weren't they kind of friendly to black people even back then?
Yes, they don't have the same type of sentiment over there. Like
yeah.
you had some Tuskegee Airmen that was dating some French women.
Yeah, certainly were. Yep. what's her name? Sunny Hostin on The View. She found out that her ancestors owned slaves. Said one part of her family was in slavery, and another part owned slaves. And you know, she gets up there always talking about we need reparations. Well, are you going? We need to ask you
yeah.
for reparations, huh? I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. And what's that other woman?
I mean,
what's that other black woman that's got the blonde hair now? It's working for CNN. I can't think of her name.
Oh, is it Joy Reid?
Joy Reid's part Nigerian. I bet they sold. I bet they sold Africans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
She hates Trump so much she likes to wear his hair.
Yeah, I bet you when you get. See, I don't know how she got here, but I think I know. So she probably got a family of selling Africans.
Yeah,
either to
she
the
probably
East,
does.
Saharan a slave trade, or the transatlantic. Man, you know.
I would love to hear her heritage report. I don't think she's going to do it because, you know, she's probably seeing everybody else. Well, wait a minute. Suppose they say something I don't want to hear, you know. So.
Wait a minute, Vincent. She probably have and she hid it. She probably have and hid it in a book.
She probably
She hid it in a book in case somebody burglarized the place.
I tell you, at least my hair is safe.
Boy, it can be fun, can't it?
Oh yeah. I'm kind of curious about my. I'm kind of curious about my history as well. I trace mine all the way back to an Indian woman in the early 1800s named. Wait a minute, it can't be Letitia James. It was Letitia something.
Oh,
it ain't no Letitia James.
I don't think it's Letitia, but Letitia is one of those modern hood names that came out
really?
Of the urban area, the urban period.
Well, I traced mine to someone named Letitia, and they said she was an Indian woman in the early 1800s. Letitia something. It wasn't James. It may have been Letitia Adams or something like that, but you know what?
Well,
one of these days,
I'm a word. In some languages,
yeah.
the word law means no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I have to look at it. Sometimes I can look at names and pinpoint, but it's not always accurate. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there for people. To make them think. People don't think enough nowadays. They don't have no analytical and no critical thinking.
They just accept what they hear. Yeah, they just accept what
they
hear.
They emotionalize.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's the thing that really bothers me. You know, I mean, don't you all even go out and try to find out the truth about anything instead of just taking it in and allowing your emotions to be the catalyst, you know, for your responses and everything. We live in a country where you can go into Google, you can go into an encyclopedia, go to the library, look this stuff up, but people just don't want to do it. They just want somebody else to do the thinking for them.
They tell you stuff, you know. When they tell
yeah.
you something, like I listened to a guy today. Yeah, the Jews got a Holocaust payment, and he was talking about California supposed to be paying blacks some kind of reparation. And see, I said, well, you being deceitful when you say it like that, you're making people believe that America paid it. America, United States government did not pay for no Jewish reparation.
Nope. It was Germany.
They say, when the United Nations say that we should I said the United Nations don't have no carte blanche over the United States.
No,
matter of fact,
they
need to pay their portion of the damn United Nations dues instead of everybody depending on the U.S. to do it, which I'm against paying anybody's damn dues.
Yeah, that's right.
So if it's not that, it's not the excuses. Here come the new words with new definitions. So look out. Anyway, man, I'm going to get back to your last few minutes.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I tell you. that one when you said it's fraud for you to pay a $500 deductible and you know the insurance. Yeah, I like that. Oh my goodness. I never thought of it like that.
I'll work with you on the deduction. That's the Letitia James slant deal. That's the Letitia James deal. I'll work with you on your deductible. That's fraud. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to you later.
All right, now you take care of yourself. Well, folks, coming to the end of the show, that was a good one. Oh my goodness. Like I said before, I didn't know about the zebra murders until last year. Nobody talks about it. Nobody drops a clip of it on YouTube. You know, you might be going through YouTube and whatever, and they never drop a clip of it or anything. And when I heard about that, I said, oh my goodness, I never heard of the zebra murders. You know, and these guys were targeting white folks. And once again, he's right. The most notorious serial killer in American history is not white. It's a black dude. Killed 92 or 93 white women. I forgot his name, but you know, I think his last name was Little. And but a lot of this stuff, you know, They keep this information away from us, and there's so much information out there. You really can't gain a hold of all of it. You're not going to know everything. And see, that's the thing. That's the thing about me. That's why I like to, you know, I always constantly like to keep on learning, you know, new things and whatever. But you know, you hear this stuff, you know, and there's so much information out there. There's really no reason for us to be ignorant about anything, to be honest with you. But a lot of us, we choose to let somebody else do the thinking for us. And that's what I don't like. I don't like anyone doing thinking for me. You know, I want to learn on my own. You know, if I'm having a conversation with someone, and so just like with Pianchi, and he hits me with a fact like that, like, oh my goodness. See, I like that, you know, but some people, they just sit back and just let people just feed into them because they're mentally and intellectually lazy and they don't want to do the work. They want somebody else to do the work for them. And it's evident mentally and it's also evident physically. A lot of people don't want to go to work because, you know, it's too much. I don't want to do no work, you know, but their minds are like that too. They don't want to do the mental process in order to, you know, gain some learning. And so that's why it's so easy for the news media to come up and just feed us anything. And a lot of people just buy a hook, line, and sinker. You know, they don't sit there and say, hey, well, let me check this out. Let me see if this is really so. And that's why you got a lot of people believe in certain things because someone else fed it into them in a neat little package with a little red bow on it. And now all of a sudden, you know, hey, yeah, this is what's going on in the world. And they act like they are experts on what's going on in the world because they sat down for an hour and a half watching the news or something, you know. And they think they're so much smarter than everybody else. And they're not, you know. Now, I'll tell them you're about as dumb as a pile of bricks. But I don't want to insult the pile of bricks like that. But anyway, let's see. Next Saturday, that'll be the 24th. Yes, I should have another program on the 24th. Of course, the first of the month, I won't be having a program. Suzette, I'm going to have to check out your show. I'm going to try to make it a priority because, you know, you all getting these shows on CNN radio, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to check these people out. But you all, God willing, I should have another show next weekend. Of course, you know, I'll let you know if anything comes up or anything like that. But you all, you know, keep speaking for the truth. Stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves. Have a good week. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I will see you on the rebound. You all have a blessed week.